Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. If you're not currently affiliated with a community, church, or synagogue and would like to be part of the larger Beth Emmanuel family, you can apply for long-distance membership at BethEmmanuel.org/membership.
Shabbat Shalom. I'm broadcasting from the midst of the 3 weeks and the birth pangs of Messiah. This week is Rosh Chodesh Av, the beginning of the 9 days, which culminate in the fast of Av, the anniversary of the destruction of the temple. Hopefully, by then, Mashiach will be here, and the fast of Av will be for us this year a day of feasting and rejoicing. Though he tarries, we await him every day. May he come speedily soon in our lifetimes. No man knows the day or hour of his coming. In addition to waiting for the Messiah, I've been waiting for a comet all year. Well, to be more accurate, I've been waiting for a comet since Purim, when I started logging what I consider to be the extraordinary signs and wonders, coincidences and omens, plagues and portents and natural disasters, which seem to have come in conjunction with the worldwide pandemic, which continues to cripple society to this day. I've been waiting for a comet, because it seemed like we had just about everything else going. I mean, we have seen some really dramatic stuff, which I have documented in previous teachings on the birth pangs of Messiah. I encourage you to review those teachings. We have had a dramatic year so far, crowded with apocalyptic flavored events and circumstances which can fairly be described as the birth pangs of Messiah. Does anyone even remember that Australia burned down? The drama tended to cluster around the holy days. Most recently, I will remind you of the fire, blood, and pillars of smoke which rose over Minneapolis on the morning of Shavuot. As I chronicled these things for these weekly sermons, I was looking for a comet. Astronomers did not disappoint me. Back in April, they predicted that the comet Atlas would come blazing into view. In fact, it did not. It crumbled into nothing and was never visible with the naked eye. Likewise, Comet Swan. It seemed like, despite whatever other signs, importance, and natural disasters that Hashem had placed before us, there was not going to be a comet. Why was I looking for a comet? Because there was a comet in the year that the Jewish revolt began. Last week, I was telling you about the Zealot movement in the days of the apostles and its connection to the destruction of the temple. Those were the days that the Master referred to as the beginnings of the birth pangs, and there was a comet in the sky. In the month of Shavat, January, 66 Common Era, Halley's Comet was passing within sight of the earth. From Jerusalem, the swooping arced tail of the comet looked like the curved blade of a scimitar hanging over the city. Josephus recalled, "Thus there was a star resembling a sword, which stood over the city, and a comet that continued a whole year." Halley's Comet was visible to the naked eye from late January through April in 66 Common Era. But Chinese records indicate that another comet was also visible in the summer of 65 Common Era. The dual phenomenon may account for Josephus' description of what he says, a star and a comet that continued a whole year. I think that the zealots and messianic enthusiasts who agitated for war against Rome probably interpreted the omen in light of Balaam's prophecy as a sign portending the coming of the Messiah and the fall of Roman power over Judea. Numbers 24, 17 to 18 says, "I see the Messiah, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. A scepter shall rise from Israel. Edom, that is the Roman Empire, shall be a possession. Seir, like the city of Rome, its enemies also will be a possession, while Israel performs valiantly." That's how the zealots would have read the prophecy. The revolutionary radicals began to look to the zealot heroes for a messianic figure who could rise up, unite the nation, and lead the armies of Israel against Rome. Josephus says, "These deceivers and men who strove against God himself persuaded the unhappy people. They paid no attention, nor did they assign any credit to the signs that were so obvious and so plainly foretold their future desolation. Like men infatuated, with neither eyes to see nor minds to think, they took not heed of the portents that God gave them. The sages interpreted things differently. Yochanan ben Zakkai and the disciples of our master had a less optimistic interpretation of the omens. They understood the times. I suspect that if you had asked them about the significance of the comet, they would have interpreted the omen in light of the looming judgment over Jerusalem, as it says in 1 Chronicles. Then David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven with his drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders covered with sackcloth fell on their faces. 1 Chronicles 21:16. That's why I was looking for a comet. But Comet Atlas fizzled out and Comet Swan was a no-show. Then last Friday, I heard about the appearance of a completely unexpected and unanticipated comet, one that had never before been seen and was going to be spectacular. Comet Neowise was first discovered way back in late March from a space observatory. More than 300 miles above the Earth, the Near-Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, NEOWISE for short, detected a comet in our solar system that had never been seen before. Well, at least not in the last 6,700 years or something like that. As it came closer to the Sun, astronomers realized it might be visible from Earth, if it didn't fizzle out like the others. By the first days of July, people were able to glimpse it. By Tammuz 17, it was obvious in the northeast sky if you got up before dawn. Several of us did last Sunday morning around 4 a.m. and went to an observation point in Stillwater from which we could see the comet in the pre-dawn sky. You can still see it in the sky. If you want to see the comet, you should be able to go out after sunset for the next couple days and see it hanging over the northwest horizon. Wednesday night, July 15, just 2 days ago, my family was driving home from a memorial service for my father. A few of us were on a rural road deep in Wisconsin farm country around 11 p.m. There was no moon and no clouds in the sky. The stars were ablaze. We stopped on the road in the middle of the night, in the middle of nowhere, with virtually no light pollution. The stars were brilliant across the canopy. The rim of the galaxy splayed out like an arch. Several planets shone bright like Silmaril gems set in the night sky. The stars looked as brilliant as I have ever seen them. Earlier that day, at my father's memorial service, we had all sung the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." I think I had never before paid attention to the words, but this time, the words of the hymn came alive for me. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Those words came back to me as we stood on the road staring up at the spangled summer sky, and I was reminded of Psalm 19, which says that the stars in the sky testify about God's glory. I suspect that Psalm 19 was the inspiration behind the words of the hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Psalm 19 says, and this is my paraphrase, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day after day they discourse on his glory, and night after night they reveal esoteric knowledge. They do not speak out loud, they do not use words, their voice is not audible. Nevertheless, their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." We didn't stop just to see the stars. We stopped to see the comet. There was Neowise, cutting a path through the northern sky, plain to see, the most dramatic comet to appear in the skies in over 20 years. If the stars, night after night, are revealing God's knowledge to the world, testifying about his glory, what is that comet supposed to be telling us? The last time I saw a comet was 1997. I remember standing outside the Lubavitcher Synagogue one night with several guys from the Midrash class, staring into the night sky and talking about the significance of the omen, wondering what the sign might portend. At that time, people were talking about a passage in the Talmud, which predicted that if a comet passes through the constellation Orion, it means the end of the world. Well, this particular comet, Hale-Bopp, passed through Orion during the week of Passover. So we were wondering if it was the end of the world. It wasn't. But it could have been. The same passage also has a caveat about trying to interpret the meaning of comets. Shmuel says, "The paths of the sky are as clear to me as the streets of my hometown, except for comets. I don't know what they are." So he didn't know how to interpret them. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yehoshua, said, "A comet is a rip in the sky through which the light of the next firmament is seen." It's not. It's actually a chunk of ice leaving a plume of gas and debris that it sloughs off as it passes near the sun. But I like the idea of a comet as a rip in the sky through which the light of heaven leaks. That was the Hale-Bopp comet. In 1997, when it appeared, we were told that it was the most significant comet we would ever see in our lifetimes. And in fact, there has not been a major comet since then. Until now. Standing there on that road in rural Wisconsin, in the middle of the night, peering at the plume of Neowise through a pair of binoculars, I was also reminded of the Shoemaker-Levy comet, which was, obviously, a Jewish comet with a name like that. It was never visible from Earth with the naked eye, but it was pretty exciting nonetheless because in 1992, astronomers realized it was on a collision course with the planet Jupiter. We were all watching the news and wondering how to interpret this particular sign. Jupiter, of course, is the Roman name for the god Zeus. When the temple was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, the Romans dedicated the Temple Mount to Jupiter. They raised his image on the Temple Mount, and later they put up a temple to him on the Temple Mount. This was the abomination of desolation which the prophet Daniel had predicted and which our master had warned his disciples about. By coincidence, that same year, the Temple of Jupiter in the city of Rome burned to the ground. So I was pretty enthusiastic about seeing a Jewish comet smash into Jupiter. So were astronomers. They pointed every telescope, space probe, and orbital telescope they had at Jupiter to watch the big moment. The comet smashed into Jupiter late on July 16, 1994, 26 years ago. It just happened to be Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of the destruction of the temple, the 9th of Av. Fragments of the comet continued to slam into the planet for 7 days. I don't believe that coincidences are random. If we are listening for his voice, if we have tuned ourselves into his presence, God is ready to speak to us through every circumstance and situation, through nature and through people, through all that befalls us. How much more so then through phenomenal signs? It's beyond coincidence that this comet, which no one expected, which has not been seen before in recorded history, came blazing into our skies in this particular year at this particular time, making its brightest appearance during the 3 weeks which commemorate the destruction of the temple. I don't know what it might portend. I don't know how to interpret signs like this. But at the same time, I do not want to be like the zealots of whom Josephus wrote. They paid no attention, nor did they assign any credit to the signs that were so obvious and so plainly foretold their future desolation. Like men infatuated, with neither eyes to see nor minds to think, they took not heed of the portents that God gave them. God is trying to get our attention. We need to pay attention. We need to pay heed. What might the comet be declaring to us? It's another portent. In a long series of signs and portents for 2020, telling us that the time is short, that the time to repent is here, and that the Messiah is coming. But more specifically, there might be a hint in the name of the comet. As I mentioned, Neowise is an acronym for Near Earth Object Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer. But the acronym itself sounds to me like new wisdom, neo-wise, new wisdom. The world needs some new wisdom because the old wisdom, the wisdom of this world, is utterly failing us. The Apostle James contrasts two types of wisdom, the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. Beware of people who tout common sense, because common sense is not the wisdom from above. James says, if you have bitter zealotry and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where zealotry and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, and sincere. The new wisdom, which is coming to earth, is the Messiah himself. He is the divine wisdom, the Logos, the image of God, the agent of creation. His wisdom and his teaching sounds like foolishness to the wisdom of this world. But the wisdom of this world is the real folly, because it is the common sense that clings to the temporal, celebrates the impermanent, and takes no heed of the spiritual. Take a look at the world today and the state of things, the state of peoples and politics, the state of ideologies and human priorities, the state of the environment and the government, and then boast to me about the wisdom of this world. How is that all working out for us? I believe that it is only by God's intervention and divine providence that we have not already blown ourselves into extinction through thermonuclear war. As I said last week, the human race is insane. It's also suicidal. We need new wisdom. New wisdom is coming. He will appear suddenly and unannounced, and every eye will see him through all the earth to the end of the world, like the comet. Actually, not every eye can see neo-wise. The comet is visible primarily in the northern hemisphere. It's visible from Jerusalem, but it's not visible at all in the southern hemisphere. When Messiah comes, every eye will see him from every point on earth. The new wisdom will spread over the whole earth. The glory of the Lord will fill the earth, and the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Everyone will know the Lord and seek his presence. Whatever else the comet Neowise foretells, whatever other message such a harbinger relays to us, it relays this warning. Look to the sky. Your king draws near. Take hold of the new wisdom now. Let go of the folly of this world and let go of the love of the things of this world. Instead, we should attach ourselves to the new wisdom, the wisdom from above, which is really the ancient wisdom by whom all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. If the sky is tearing open and the light of the revelation of heaven is spilling through, let's take hold of that revelation. How so? It's not hard. It doesn't take any great heroic quest. Turn to God. Repent, turn to your Father in heaven, give yourself over to him more and more. Let his Spirit imbue you with new wisdom, as it says, I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. Yeshua is the new wisdom. If the world had heeded his wisdom, the destruction of the temple might have been averted 2,000 years ago. If we desire to see the redemption, it is incumbent upon us to take his wisdom to heart today. As it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as your fathers did. Go look at the comet. There's a blessing to say for when you see a comet. You say the blessing, Ose Maase Vreshit, who makes the works of creation. Go look at the comet and look for the coming of the Messiah. Be like the three wise men, following the star, looking for the new wisdom. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel.
Take on my yoke and learn from me and find rest for your soul.